Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Sin is not a word that is popular. It's not a word that people like to use, especially the more philosophically oriented people. But even those who don't want to use terms like sin or evil admit that there is something wrong that tends to spoil life, to spoil and ruin life.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, in a message titled, The Truth About Sin and Death. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So in the 11th verse that we considered previously, at the end of the verse there, you remember Paul is talking about rejoicing in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we focused in on that last week, that just that whole idea of rejoicing in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he said this, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, this it's important to see the connection here. It's reconciliation that Paul is now going to go on and talk about. He's talked about atonement. He's talked about imputation. He's talked about propitiation. All of these terms that we have brought up and defined and explained as we've been going through here. Reconciliation, we've mentioned that. But now Paul is going to develop the idea of reconciliation a little bit. And that's why verse 12 says, therefore. So he's making that connection. Therefore, just as through one man. So here's his point in the remainder of the chapter. Just as through one man, Adam, we were estranged from God. That's how it happened. Through the act of Adam, all humanity was estranged from God. So just as through one man's sin, Adam's sin, we were estranged from God, so through one man, Christ, we are reconciled to God. And that's what Paul's developing here in this, beginning in verse 12 and on through pretty much the remainder of the fifth chapter. And so we're going to get to that. We're going to talk more about that in the weeks ahead. But before we go into these details, we need to stop and consider this 12th verse alone. Let me read it to you. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. This 12th verse is one of the most important verses in the Bible from the standpoint of theology and philosophy. It's a very critical verse. You know, there are certain theological truths that are foundational to the Christian faith. And one of those theological truths is something that we probably have all heard. Maybe some of us know a little bit more, you know, about what it actually is referring to than others, but it's the idea of original sin. Now, I remember clearly hearing about original sin being brought up in Catholicism, because that was, you know, that was why it was necessary to be baptized as a baby, to be cleansed from that original sin. And I remember even from, you know, my childhood, that just that, even the term itself just sort of got lodged in my head, original sin. But what is original sin? Is that a reality? Is that, you know, something that was made up? So this is where we find it explained in the scriptures. That's what he's talking about. So from the theological standpoint, original sin elaborated on here by the Apostle Paul. But then there's also a philosophical thing here that goes over into the area of some of the mysteries of life. Two of the world's greatest mysteries are actually solved in this one Bible verse. You know, what philosophy is, it's basically man's attempt to understand why things are the way they are, and it's an attempt to understand it through reason rather than through revelation. Revelation is God telling you why things are the way they are. Reason is, in this philosophical sense that I'm talking about, it's generally a rejection of what God has said about it, and we're going to try to figure it out on our own, or we're going to come up with an alternative view of things. So that's why I say that there's both theological and philosophical issues here, because these are huge issues philosophically. The two issues are these, or the two mysteries. The mystery of why man is more inclined to evil than good, and the mystery of why all people die. Those are mysteries that have been grappled with by people from the earliest times of history. These are the kinds of things that the philosophers and the theologians have been dealing with. Other things as well, but these obviously are two primary things. So as we look at the world, we're confronted by these two undeniable facts. Fact number one is the universality of sin. This is an observable thing. It's something that we all can see. We all have not just observed it in others, we've all participated in it. But of course, sin is not a word that is popular. It's not a word that people like to use, especially the more philosophically oriented people. But even those who don't want to use terms like sin or evil admit that there is something wrong that tends to spoil life, to spoil and ruin life. Some will even admit further that mankind at large seems to prefer to do what is wrong rather than what is right. So it's not just us Bible-believing people that see this. Everybody sees it, but not everybody agrees as to what is the cause of it or what it is that we really are seeing. Now, God says what we're seeing is what he calls sin. But the philosophers will have a different explanation for what is seen. A while back, I was up in San Francisco, and one of the things I like to do is just browse through bookstores, and I popped into this bookstore up there, and I saw this book with a great title, and I thought, I got to get this book. And, you know, it was like $8 or something, and that was even more of an incentive to get the book. But I thought, I'm going to get this book because I know at some point this book's going to come in handy. It's not written by a Christian, written more by a philosopher, but it's dealing with this very subject. So let me read you just a little bit from from the inside cover of this particular book, and I'll give you the name and the author in a moment. But listen to what it says. It says, "For all our therapies, resolutions, self-help programs, and the vast religious and ethical literature available to men and women today, we turn again and again to the same limiting and predictable behaviors, vowing to do better next time. And far beyond the travails of everyday existence, although sometimes intruding upon it with ghastly shock, we witness a world twisted in conflict and warfare. While individuals and populations divide against one another in the kinds of mutual destruction over which every generation claims to have learned its lessons, For sensitive people everywhere, the question resounds, here's the title of the book, Why Can't We Be Good?
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Listen, after nearly 40 years of weighing humanity's deepest dilemmas, working in settings ranging from university to high school classrooms to corporate offices to hospitals, best-selling author, philosopher, and religious scholar Jacob Needleman, who is a professor at San Francisco State University, presents the most urgent, deeply felt, and widely accessible work of his career, this particular book. In Why Can't We Be Good, Needleman identifies the core problem that therapists and social philosophers fail to see. He depicts the individual human, listen, as a being who knows what is good, yet who remains mysteriously helpless to inwardly adopt the ethical, moral, and religious ideas that are bequeathed to him. Now, the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because it illustrates the point that I'm making, that the Bible has an answer to what we see, but man has attempted to come up with an answer to what we see as well. Now, I haven't had a chance to get through the book, but I know this for sure. Although Needleman, the author, although he does reference the Bible at times, at the end of the day, he doesn't believe that the Bible's answer is really the answer. So he's typical of the philosophical approach to these kinds of issues. So, but again, the point is, we see that here's a guy who's acknowledging that we have got a problem, and it's a universal problem, the universality of sin. So secondly, the universality of death. That's what is dealt with right here in this 12th verse of the 5th chapter. These two things. Now, I don't need to belabor this one, really, do I? Every man living will die. The moment you come into this world, you're on your way out. Kind of a pessimistic view, but it is reality. The moment you take your first breath, it is the beginning of a series that will lead to your last breath. And so death, needless to say, is a universal fact. But what is the explanation? What is the explanation for what we see, this universality of sin? Some people wouldn't want to refer to it that way, but we will. What is the explanation for this? Well, the explanation for these two facts can be divided into two categories. And this is huge today. And I know this kind of sounds a little bit more like, kind of a classroom lecture maybe than a typical sermon. But bear with me on this, because this is the kind of stuff that you know you're faced with all the time. We're living in a time when, there's more... I think there's more of an emphasis in the culture today on philosophy than there has been in previous generations. And I'm talking about American culture primarily. European culture has, for a long time, been dominated, by various philosophies. But that has been imported into the U.S. And I think back, 20 years ago, you didn't need to deal with this stuff as extensively as you do today, because the mentality was a little bit different back then. People were more interested in just, pragmatic kind of things. Hey, if it works, let's just do it. We don't need to ask a bunch of questions about it. you know, that sort of mentality. But today, and I think especially with the younger generations, they're becoming more and more philosophically oriented. So this kind of stuff is going out more and more, and especially anybody who's attended a university in the past, you know, 10 to 15 years, or maybe you're currently there, you know that this is true. And what's happened in our universities? All of those European philosophies have now come over, and they dominate the mindset of most of the professors in the universities today. So that's one of the reasons. But it's not just on the level of, you know, the academic level. It filters itself down into pop culture. You listen to a lot of the music today. You know, growing up in the 70s, 60s, 70s, you know, the music we listened to back then, well, the 60s and maybe early 70s, you know, kind of had that philosophical and, you know, there was that element to it because there was a big emphasis on peace and, you know, so a lot of those early rock and roll bands, you know, they were kind of into that. But, you know, the further you got into the 70s and the 80s, it just became about kind of just hedonism, you know, just all the music kind of centered around parties and, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll. I mean, that was kind of the theme of the 70s. But you listen to music today and you find that it's kind of shifted back to where it was before, where lyrically speaking, everything's philosophical, everything's political. There's always, you know, there's some kind of a message, you know, maybe environmentalism or, you know, some other, you know, perceived marginalized group. We're going to write a song that's going to, you know, become, you know, sort of an anthem for them or something like that. So all of that to say, you know, this stuff is just, it's just more a part of our culture today than it was before. So we've got to be able to address it. So we have to understand that when you look at these things, that these are observable. Everybody sees them, like I'm saying. Of course, everybody knows that people die. But, you know, most people recognize, too, that, you know, people tend to be bad or tend to have more of that inclination. So the explanations, there is, first of all, the naturalistic explanation. And then there's the biblical explanation, and there's really nothing in between. It's just one or the other. Now, there are variations in the naturalistic explanation, but they all essentially are pretty much saying the same thing. So it kind of comes down to, there's two worldviews. There's a biblical worldview, and then there's the naturalistic worldview. Now, I understand that we have other religions. Most other religions, maybe, you know, say Buddhism or Hinduism or something like that, their outlook, it kind of incorporates a lot of, you know, what kind of like even a secular humanism would have within it. Islam would be maybe the only distinction. But anyway, without getting into all that, the naturalistic explanation are explanations based upon man's philosophies, including science. Now, I say including science because, of course, a big area of philosophy today is in science, and especially when we're talking about Darwinian science. Darwinian science is a combination of science and philosophy. It's, to a large degree, it's much more philosophy than science. So that's the naturalistic explanation. And then there's the biblical explanation. What's a biblical explanation? Well, it's an explanation based on the scripture. So what I want to do is I want to look at the naturalistic explanation of both the universality of sin and the universality of death. Then I want to look at the biblical explanation, and then we want to consider which explanations are better, and then lastly, we want to look at solutions. Are there any solutions that are offered? Now, if somebody has an explanation for something or a diagnosis of something, then generally they're going to have some sort of a solution. So that's the way I want to break this down. And I think we can do it all in the time that we have. So the naturalistic explanation for the universality of sin. Now, I want to quote directly here from a man that I've quoted from many times before. You guys have heard me mention him. Some of you know a little bit more about him. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And I'm going to quote directly from Lloyd-Jones, who was a very famous British preacher. He was a Welshman, but he pastored in London for 40 years at Westminster Chapel. He's a very brilliant man from the biblical standpoint, but his background was in medicine. In his early 20s, he was the assistant physician to the royal family. So he was a very accomplished and highly advanced medical man, even in his early days. So, you know, this is a guy, especially in Britain at the time, kind of the heyday of Darwinism, he would have been educated in all of this stuff. So he kind of summarizes the naturalistic explanation. And even though he did this back in the, 50s or 60s, things haven't changed much. So I think these summarizations are still pretty much what you would get today if you press somebody to give you an explanation as to what is going on in the life of these, say, criminals, you know, these people who everybody would agree are problems to society, dangerous, whatever. So this is what he says. This is his summarization. The universality of sin. Man has never been perfect, the naturalist would say. Man has never been perfect. Man is in the process of evolving from the animal kingdom. His cerebrum has developed beyond that of the other animals, but he has not yet shed all of his past. He still has the same basic animal nature, yet he also has his mind with its powers of reason and understanding. Thus, the conflict is between the higher and lower nature. And so this is what they would say then. Man is not really bad. And again, this is very much the case today. You know, political correctness would, you know, there are very few people or behaviors in society today that you are allowed to call bad. Very few. So, man is not really bad. What you should say about him is that he is not yet good. Not bad, just lacking good qualities. So this is the naturalistic explanation for what we see when we look around the world and we see hatred and jealousy and rage and oppression. It's because man is just lacking some good qualities at this point. So the universality of death. Here's the summary. Death is part of the circle of life. Life begins, develops, and grows, matures, blossoms, and having reached its peak, begins to wear and decay until eventually it dies. This is the pattern of human existence. It is something that is inherent in life itself. When trees and flowers and animals die, the decomposed matter to which they give rise is most valuable. It produces nitrogen, which is, after all, the basis of life. Death leads to life by liberating the nitrogen that is needed to form the molecules of new life. Death is just part of the cycle of life, always has been, always will be. So that is the naturalistic explanation for the existence of death. Now, here's a couple of questions that I would ask those who hold to these views. If man was never perfect, you see, because this is a direct contradiction to what the Bible says. And of course, it's an evolutionary idea. Man is, you know, he's evolving. He's coming from way down here, and he's slowly making his way upward. He's, you know, coming out of the animal world, and he's developing, he's progressing as he goes. The biblical picture is the exact opposite.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering an engaging 40-day devotional titled When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian. This book takes a fresh look at the person of Jesus, overviewing the book of John, drawing you into a deeper personal relationship with Christ, while stimulating a greater hunger to know and serve Him, and inviting you to dig deeper into the Word of God. The Lord wants to open our eyes to the truth of His glory and greatness. For it is through Jesus that we have hope, peace, forgiveness, and abundant life. and we hope that this devotional will give you a richer understanding of the Incarnation when God became one of us. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this timeless Bible story as told by Pastor Chuck. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics, we will send you this month's book, David and Goliath. You'll find this book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.